Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of it.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
We didn't get to this the other day, and I think this is exceptionally 2020. I don't know what would be a better symbol for 2020 than the one I'm about to give you. But Stugatz, in New York, yeah. And I want you to think about how horrifying this had to have been. In New York, a sinkhole opened up and some guy just landed on a pile of rats, on a giant pile of rats. Like your body right now is reacting the way mine did when I read that story. Go ahead and Google search.
I don't think I want to.
Google search at your leisure. I actually want more details on this if you don't mind, though you're wincing right now and you look like you're profoundly disgusted. Just Google sinkhole rats and New York. See what it is that comes up in terms of news possibilities.
The Jets came up.
Sinkholes are so scary. I don't know if you guys are like me. Did you guys have the phase where you were scared of sinkholes? Because I had a paralyzing fear of sinkholes for the longest time. And there's nothing you can do about sinkholes, right? And you don't obviously know when a sinkhole is going to form. And you could see little things. But man, there was a time where I wouldn't go places. Like, it seemed like Orlando every week was getting eaten up by a sinkhole. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to go to Orlando this year.
There was a phase. There was a weird phase, right? There was a time in Florida for some strange reason over like 2 week period where there was just an abundance of sinkholes.
It was Beatlemania, but for sinkholes. There was a craze, a fad in Florida in particular of sinkholes for whatever reason. And every time I'd take a step, I was wondering if I was going to step in the wrong place and activate some sort of sinkhole. Like if I was Indiana Jones stepping on something in a, you know, a temple that was going to kill me.
I just saw the footage of this. My God. I mean, that is it's so scary. It's not a sinkhole like the ones you have traditionally seen on TV. It's a very small sinkhole on a sidewalk that only one man fell through. You're right. Where he landed was in a pack of rats. I mean, it's frightening.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. What's scarier, falling into a sinkhole or falling onto a pile of rats at Levitard Show? Because both of those things happen. And Stugatz and I are both soothing ourselves, like sort of rubbing our arms, wondering what kind of horror that would feel like to just be walking along. You're eating a knish. You're just hanging out, or you're thinking about, I'm going to go over there and get a dirty water hot dog. And next thing you know, you're on a pile of writhing rats that you know are underneath the surface in New York at all times, and also running Wall Street. But you don't expect to land on them when the earth opens up. Billy, the idea that you would have a paralyzing fear of sinkholes for a period is kind of amazing. Do you know how you conquered
it?
Yeah, it's not really amazing. You fear a lot of different things, so of course you would fear
sinkholes.
Meteors
was another phase that I had where I was constantly looking up at the sky because we had like a couple weeks back to back where we're like, whoa, there's this crazy meteorite or asteroid or what, I don't even remember the difference, but I was looking at them, a comet or something that's like, this thing just came over Russia. And I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna come and they're gonna start knocking off power grids and satellites. Trust me, there's been lots of phases of fears. There's the meteorite asteroid one, there's the sinkholes. I'm sure there's more that I could think of if you give me time.
Can you put it on the poll? Do you know the difference between a meteor and an asteroid?
This guy, like he said, he's traumatized. He's in the hospital. He said that he kept falling and falling and falling and falling. And then he landed on something that was kind of soft. And it was rats. And the rats, He actually got a. He caught a little bit of a break because the rats are up higher than normally. He would have kept falling. The rats are up higher than normally because of COVID, and they're looking for food. They found it.
Yeah, so, they are hungry. Yes. They are hungry rats I don't think that they reacted in time because they weren't expecting a human being to land on them. Can you guys explain to me why it is that me, Stugat, and Chris are rubbing ourselves and soothing ourselves? And I think many of you in the audience are doing the same thing right now, but many of you might be like Roy and Tony and Billy and just staring stoically ahead. I'm surprised, Billy, like you're hiding your fear very well if you are afraid or disgusted by the conversation we're having.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not a fan of rats, but now I'm back into thinking about sinkholes and meteors, so I don't have time for the rats right now.
But, Billy, here's what's going on, and so just play this out. I think when you, first off, you fall through a sinkhole. You're walking down the street. You're on the sidewalk. You know, the sinkhole happens. That's traumatizing enough. But then you're in the dark, many feet under, and you have no idea what you've landed on.
Well, you have a pretty good idea.
But you don't know for certain what you've landed on.
Once it starts moving, you've got a pretty good idea.
That's the part that I'm rubbing my arm about.
If you're thinking clearly and it starts moving beneath you, you've got a decent idea what it is you've fallen on.
But that, Dan, is when the heart attack factor comes in. And obviously, I've had a fear of heart attacks as well.
Well, Billy, what do you think about getting that guy on? Is it possible at all? Like, this seems like a great Allison Chase of a guy who can tell this particular story. It's been a while since we've made Allison Chase a random guest. But don't you guys have 1,000 questions about this? Like, I have a lot of questions about this.
His name is Leonard Shoulders, and he has done interviews since the incident. So
we'll look into it. I just remembered that in the sinkhole craze of, let's say, 2011, we had a sinkhole expert on because sinkhole experts were such a big deal at the time.
I remember it was a weird proliferation, but it was only like 3 weeks, right, Billy? Like, it was just three giant sinkholes popped up, and we were like, what the hell is going on? They were all in Florida, right?
I think so. I mean, it's taken some of us longer than 3 weeks to get over the big sinkhole, whatever you want to call it.
Would you guys rather be walking down the street and you fall into a sinkhole onto some rats? Or would you be walking down? Would you rather be walking down the street and all of a sudden you start falling into quicksand?
Billy, were you about to say the great sinkhole exodus or experiment? Where were you headed with that before you just went into a sinkhole conversationally?
It's a good question. I don't really know. I was going to say expedition, but we weren't really on an expedition for sinkholes. They were just kind of finding us.
Chris, I think the better question is, if you fall through a sinkhole, which would you rather land on? Rats, snakes, something like that. Like, is there anything worse than rats? Because I think snakes for me would be the worst.
But Chris,
or frogs.
What you say about quicksand, you're going to die if it's quicksand. Like, this guy lived to do interviews. Like, it's horrible. But this guy's old Shoulders is doing a media tour, like telling everybody about that time he fell through a sinkhole on some rats. Like, we wouldn't be able to interview old Shoulders, Leonard Shoulders, if he had fallen into quicksand.
I've seen Princess Bride. You don't always die when you fall into quicksand.
Well, you have to have the vines, right? Because that's the key to the quicksand, is having the vine that can yank you out.
Yes.
I think Lenny just got a book tour too.
All right, this is the get of the day. We want to see if we can hunt down old Lenny Shoulders,
I think he's 32.
How is this going to go over with Allison? Because Allison is a bit squeamish about these things. Is Allison, when you reach out to Allison, Billy, and ask her, we need to get on, it's an emergency, we need to get on the guy who fell through some sinkhole and landed on a bunch of rats. It's been a minute since we sent her on a sinkhole. What was it? Expedition. It's been a while. So do you think, like, how was that one going over?
We'll find out. I just started out the process saying strange guest request. So this is how we're kind of easing into it.
All right.
Baby steps, though. You're right. With Allison.
Does she even have the time anymore, given that she's doing the guest booking for just about everybody? Does she even have the time to sort of drop everything and go on one of our silly goose chases for 2 hours?
I guess we'll find out. We'll see if Lenny's busy today and what he wants to talk about.
I think this is in her wheelhouse. These take, you know, for her, it takes like less than 30 minutes. If you send her on a goose chase for a big celebrity, that will take longer. Old Lenny Shoulders, as you like to call him. I think she'll get that done within 45 minutes. I do. She's that good at it.
There were a number of funny things last night. If you needed some funny in your life, as the election felt unpleasant, stressful. We still don't have a decision.
I thought you were talking about that Joey Gallo Gold Glove again.
And so as you guys were experiencing this, a couple of the funny things that I saw last night was one, this is a thing that actually happened. I'm not making it up, even though it seems like it's something from The Onion. Somebody was elected to the North Dakota, to a legislative seat in North Dakota who died from COVID in October. Okay. So that person died from COVID and won the seat. And, it's actually one of the things that I've been worried about during this election. Our boy John Mulaney there, the comedian, went on Saturday Night Live and basically said it's just an old man off. We're having an elderly man off where we're just going to choose between two elderly men, and at the end, one of them is going to be an elderly man who has more power. It's a contest involving elderly men. I couldn't believe that happened in North Dakota. And the other thing that was funny is I'm watching the election. And I thought, okay, it couldn't be any dumber than having Borat sponsor the election, okay? I thought that it couldn't get dumber than that because it was the election coverage was being brought to you by Borat, which I'm assuming in the marketing meetings at Amazon, they chose that because it would be funny. And I'm like, okay, they can't be funnier than this. But I feel like they were by accident. Because at one point I'm watching and it's like this election coverage is brought to you by Calm. By Calm, which is evidently like the happiest app on earth. Calm, oddly enough, also sponsors a podcast called Hysteria, which doesn't make any sense at all.
It's a meditation app, right?
Right. But Calm, I guess maybe it does make sense.
It does. I guess
if you've got hysteria in your life, you need some calm.
That's actually pretty creative marketing right there. At a night like that where no one is calm, for them to sponsor that, that's pretty funny. And for them to sponsor that type of podcast, they're very creative. I'm going to try to get calm on here.
It's smart. It is smart marketing. I am really surprised that you have the app Calm. I believe is it called the happiest app on earth?
I think so. It's that, you know, everyone knows, just to give people an idea, it's that commercial where it's just raining and they say do nothing for 15 seconds. Yeah, the Calm app. Right.
This one was 30 seconds. And all of a sudden I'm watching TV, I'm on my phone, and then I just hear rain and I'm like, where is that coming from? And then I'm looking at the TV and it's just rain trickling on a roof, on like a tin roof. And it's like, do nothing for 30 seconds. It's actually got the countdown. Yes. I was like, you know what? I feel pretty calm.
It's delightful. Yeah.
Where did that sound come from? And can we get it behind the rest of what we're doing here? I just heard the raining. Was that your app? Was that your app that I was listening to?
When you turn calm on, this is what happens.
All right. Leave it there for a while.
I sleep to this. It's amazing.
It is. You have a number of options there when it comes to sleeping. I don't know whether we have rights fees when it comes to using Calm. I just saw Mike get skittish and scared.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that because they pay big money to have like Jeff Bridges and LeBron James voice stuff and Harry Styles.
Okay, but it's just streaming the sound. Water, it's just the sound of running water.
I don't know
water.
If they went to a studio and had some sort of, you know, sound guy produce this exclusive rain sound.
I really thought that Billy's fear of meteors and sinkholes would be the greatest fear in this segment, but it's you.
Yeah,
it's his fear of fines.
It's honestly my fear of chain emails with attorneys from Disney.
Yeah. Okay. A perpetual fear around.
Someone needs to name that.
So help me with this as it relates to the sleeping apps. Do you guys use the sleeping apps? Do you guys don't have to worry about this stuff. It's funny because when Mike Ryan came in here today, all right, he was moaning about his body and he was complaining about being 35 years old now. And I guess his knee hurt because He was taking care of his one-year-old last night, and his knee locked up on him after playing some soccer.
I think he was putting together some sort of bookcase or something. Yeah.
It's just, it's bordering on disrespectful, the stuff that my wife buys that I have to assemble. Yeah. Every time I do it, I'm on a bookshelf, and for the life of me, I can't figure this thing out. Yeah. It is ridiculous. There's a million pieces. It's insane. I got to put hinges and wheels. The last time I assembled something, I swore it would be the last time. But she bought this before I uttered that statement, so I've had this bookshelf in my home just sort of haunting me. I turn a corner, I'm drinking my coffee, and I try not to see it.
There's very little in life that I like less than putting something together. It's one of the many things that make me less of a man than most of the people listening to this.
It's terrible when you get things with so many parts to it that you get to the double letters. Like you have things A, B, C, D, and then you get to like 26 things. So now you have GG and JJ. It's like, all right, there's too much shit involved with this if we need the double letters.
Is it a cost-cutting measure to not actually put words? Because they have these illustrations, and it's a bookshelf, right? And I have this wooden plank, and it's supposed to be 3D, but I can't tell which side this thing is supposed to be facing. Is it supposed to be facing up, or is it supposed to be facing down? Right. Also, it's impossible for one person to put this together. Impossible.
There's probably holes on one side of it that, like, the holes go on the top side because that's where the screws go in. No?
There are holes on both sides, Chris. There are holes on both sides. What is the purpose of saying some assembly required if you're going to need somebody else to hold it in place? It's too much for one man. And my knees lock up because I've been on the floor for 4 hours. It's a nightmare. Why can't we just buy an assembled bookcase?
As a guy who has had to build many things in this house, can we stop using Allen wrenches, please?
For the love of God, you're right.
Oh, I love an Allen wrench.
Although, if you have your screwdriver, I have this screwdriver that has a bunch of different pegs.
Oh, I love those.
It has one of those wrench pegs within the screwdriver. So I don't have to have my thumb and my index finger get all raw because I'm turning this L-shaped thing from hell.
All right, this will never stop, okay? I'm telling you guys right now, I'm giving you advice. This will never stop. Your wife's always going to buy stuff unassembled. Either deal with it, assemble it yourself, buy it assembled, or hire a handyman to come to the house and help you out with the assembly, okay? I think I said that right. But here's what I want to ask you guys.
Not everyone can afford that.
Okay, well, then you can buy it assembled, or you just have to eat it and do it. That's the way it is.
It's a puzzle. It's an adult puzzle. I have many things in my house, and we're just getting progressively more difficult. I'm at my wit's end with this one.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Do you love a good Allen wrench? Because I don't believe that that's something that the audience is going to love. I don't know why Chris loves it and Roy hates it. And which do you like less, doing less, assembling furniture or moving? Assembling furniture or moving?
So I'm getting on Mike because he's complaining, guys, and he's 35 years old and, you know, his knees hurt and his back hurt and he's assembling a bookcase for his child. And we've all done that. And the point I was making to him was, hey, do me a favor. I am now 48 years old. I would give a body part to have 10 years of my life back. 10 years. And I think Dan would give a body part as well. Now, I offered up a hand. I think that's a bit extreme, and I have to rethink that. I think Dan was maybe thinking a finger or two, a couple of digits. I went the entire hand.
Well, Chris just, and this is the plague of youth, Chris was just horrified by the idea of losing a hand, and he immediately started pantomiming a golf swing and how he wouldn't be able to golf anymore if he lost a hand. It's not a good point.
It is.
It is not a good point to say that if I can't golf anymore, I wouldn't want 10 years of life. That is not a good point.
I was more saying that as Stu Gatz, because he was so quick to give up a hand.
Right.
And he plays golf like 4 times a day. So I was just like, that's what I was doing with the golf swing.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it this way. Jim Abbott pitched a no-hitter with one hand.
That's a good point.
Incredible feat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, an incredible hand.
Yes.
I'm not creaky because I just assembled a bookshelf. All right.
You came in talking about a bookshelf, a baby, and that your body was hurting.
Right. So it took me 4 hours to get it in position to where I was frustrated and I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. But you ever sit crisscross applesauce for a while, ooh, and you're just like, ah, to make it less, or it takes a minute, right?
To untie yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
I had scheduled my Tuesday night soccer game at KSP. It's already like hard cardiovascularly. Well, easy for me, cardiovascularly.
You got it.
It was hard for me cardiovascularly because I'm wearing a mask the entire time and I'm a little bit out of shape. I'm trying to work myself back in there. Also, I have this 4 hours being on the tile floor trying to assemble this thing. And I was terrible. I was getting beat near post left and right. I couldn't make a save to save my damn life, right? And I walk in here and now I'm wearing just the soreness of assembling the shelf and soccer. And I realize, Mike, you just don't got it anymore. You used to be a contender.
You decided it?
No, I'm not. I am past my peak. I am on a downward trajectory in terms of what I can do on the soccer field. And part of me is really, I'm staring my own mortality in the face right now. And I don't like what I see. It's just like, man, I'm never going to get better. It's just all downhill from here.
Athletically or physically?
Physically. Physically. It's me reconciling with the fact that this is life now. Life is me being sore if I'm on the floor for 4 hours and not being able to shake it right away. And I use like this hemp oil to make my joints better.
Does it work?
That's just old people shit.
Right.
Who does that? Old people.
Well, there's an old person asking if it works, does it?
No, I'm so sore.
Mike,
and then I rubbed my eyes afterwards and I was just like, ah!
Mike, I think most people, no matter what their youth is, 4 hours on the floor, there's going to be some soreness. Like,
yeah,
four hours in a position that you're not used to being in?
Before the pandemic, I could shake that off. I wasn't getting beat near posts. That's embarrassing. You just hang them up if you get beat near posts as much as... I got beat on a corner, Dan. It bounced off me and in. Off a corner.
Was a rolling chair too high for you to use on assembling that bookshelf?
Yeah, I need to be on the floor for this one because since I'm one person, I need the floor to hold the bookshelf in place. It's as wide as my wingspan, basically. I can't get the leverage without being on the floor.
Wait, hold on a second. Dan, are you saying that regardless of age, that if you're on the floor 4 hours putting together a bookshelf, you're going to be sore afterwards? Like, you're telling me if Giannis did the same thing, he would be sore after 4 hours?
4 hours in a position that your body's not used to being in. No matter how athletic you are, if you're 4 hours sitting there, let's say crisscross applesauce for 4 hours, maybe you've got incredibly flexible hips, maybe you're someone who has a lubricated body that isn't impacted by age.
I'm just super creaky always. Even at my most flexible, I am shockingly unflexible.
Well, the fact that you're exercising in a mask is interesting because I can't imagine a whole lot of people are doing that, though you have to, I guess, if you're in a bit of a contact sport.
Yeah, you have to. That's the protocol at Kendall Soccer Park.
But exercising of any kind, playing soccer or not running around?
Well,
running
at the gym, at LA Fitness in Westchester, where I frequent now, you have to wear a mask.
No, indoors, yes, but I thought outdoors exercising, a mask was not required unless you're going to come back into contact with other people while exercising.
It's KSP protocol. There's this other park that I've played at once, and they're a little bit more relaxed, and I prefer the KSP way. No matter what, I'm wearing my mask. But it's hard, man. I'm huffing and puffing. I make like a combo save and I distribute the ball. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's doing that. He's got to be doing that on purpose at this point. No?
The rules are different park to park, county to county, even parks within the same county. Like what youth sports is trying to do to play games, even outdoors. I don't think you could do it in Dade or Broward right now, like official, like Little League games. You have to go up to Palm Beach because they're allowing it up there. It's crazy to try to find field space. And every rule is different for every park right now. It's nuts.
Guillermo, a couple of things. Can you please put on the poll, is anyone sore if they're on the floor for 4 hours? And also, how would you answer that question, Guillermo? I don't know how old you are, whether you're 30, 32 or 33, but age does matter when answering these questions. Would you give up a body part? And I don't know if the answer is different, or specifically your hand, in exchange for 10 more years of life.
He's too young.
So I go back 10 years or I live 10 years
longer?
You just
get 10. You get 10 years. I'm promising you 10 more years than you are going to get. And I'm not saying you're going to get 10 years at the back end where you're wandering around in pain and stuff. I'm saying you're just going to get, if you were going to die at 65, now you're going to die at 75.
What am I dying of?
Right. See, I think the better way, if you get to 45, you go right back to 35, because that's what I'm clamoring for. I don't want 10 extra years, because those are lousy years and I'll be in bad shape and bad health. I want to go back to when I was 35.
I'm weird because given the right circumstances, I may fast forward 5 years of my life. And that's probably just because I'm younger now, right? And when I'm older, I'll be like, I'd rather, you know, give me back those 5 years that I fast forwarded. But if I could fast forward and see what my life was like in 5 years, I think I may take something for that, right? Maybe like
you're the only one doing that.
Right. Lose the tip of like one of my fingers or something.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, you would give the tip of your finger to find out what your life looks like at 38?
Yeah, maybe. I might do that. It depends on the finger, right? Does anyone know what this second knuckle is called? Does that have a name, or are we just calling everything a knuckle that bends on your finger?
What do you mean the second knuckle?
The knuckle up by the fingernail.
The one in the middle is just a knuckle.
Right. Yeah, but what's the top one right underneath your fingernail called?
One that goes in, kind of, right?
Yeah. It's like goes, I think that's also a knuckle.
So hold on a second. You guys are saying that each hand has two knuckles? Because I think of the hand as having one. Each finger has two knuckles?
Yeah,
the thumb.
Yeah, go. What? No, the thumb has. No, the thumb has two.
No, the thumb only has the one.
No.
Oh, wait. The thumb does have the two.
If see? You
go, wait a minute. So now.
Hold on a second.
It might be three knuckles per finger. It might be three.
No, the thumb does not have two knuckles. Do you guys have different hands than I do?
No, because look at the base of look at the base in here.
Everyone put their hands up to the screen right now. Let's look at hands.
Guillermo.
Oh yeah, the base has the knuckle. Well, no,
that's the base.
No,
though. That's the base.
Yeah, look,
it's like every corner. Yeah.
No, because every other finger has that too.
Listen, there's two knuckles on every finger. I'm telling you.
No, some have three then in that case.
By the base logic of the thumb, that would mean every other finger has three.
Exactly. Guillermo, Chris, I'm with you, which I don't know if that
helps me. This is one of the great questions ever asked around here, because I now believe that each finger might have three knuckles. And
I'm making this a poll.
Put it on the poll. How many knuckles does each finger have? One, two, or three?
Man, that hemp oil was strong as shit.
Man. Each finger contains three joints, more commonly known as knuckles. The thumb has two knuckles.
Putting a bow on our local hour conversation, I texted Tim Kirkshen.
Excellent.
To get a definitive answer. Most professional hitter in baseball.
Oh, that's great. So we've got to have him on and ask him that question.
I have the answer.
We also have to ask him how. Wait a minute. He just answered it already?
Time out. I want to hear how you phrased it. Please send me the exact word for word.
Don't
verbatim.
We need qualifications?
Okay.
Tim Kirkshen.
You're going to accuse me of leading the witness when I was just offering up an example.
I want to hear how you worded it.
I want to stop this segment right now and promise people Tim Kirkshen in the next segment. That's what I want to do.